Cool. Okay. Are you recording?
Yeah.
Okay, get cool. Started. Hey guys, we are we're Snacks and Chats, in case you forgot, in case you clicked yeah. on something and didn't realize. I'm Lani and this is Ben.
Sup.
Sup. And today we have Te Karihana Gardener Toi, or otherwise known as Tex, with us.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. Kia ora. How are you?
Good, I'm good, thank you.
Thanks for coming to complete yeah. strangers'
no,
house
and nah, just it's like cool. It's cool to be
being
here.
All good with it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for for responding to my Facebook message.
Nah, all good.
You have just released your EP.
Mm-hmm.
How are you feeling after that? Is it a big relief to have that?
Yeah, well, I thought it would be. I actually don't feel like that. I don't feel like I've released it.
Oh, it's really?
I don't know. It's weird. I don't know why. It hasn't sunken in like properly yet, I don't think. If it ever will.
Yeah, true. I guess it's kind of weird now because it's just like you just chuck it out online now, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it's
yes.
weird.
Yeah, you don't actually have a thing.
I printed like 60 copies, so I'm physical, just so I could have it because I just wanted to hold one in my hand.
Because
I was working on it for like ages and I just. Yeah, I was like, nah, I want to hold one so I can say that I've done it.
Yeah, the Grapefruit Skies, that's what it's called. I think it's like a lovely name.
Thank you.
I love it when people have real simple ways of, I mean, I think immediately of a sunset or a sunrise or
thank
whatever.
You.
And I was just like, what
that was
a
the intention.
Lovely, yeah, what a lovely way to describe that.
That's good. You didn't think of grapefruits like just yeah. floating in the sky. No, that was the intention, yeah, sunsets and colours, yeah.
Yeah, cool. But before we get into talking about your release, this is the question that I ask everyone first. When people ask you where you're from, what do you tell them?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's always hard when you're Māori too, because when people ask you where you're from, it's like a lot more complicated than they would expect. But I usually just say, on my dad's side, I come from Hokianga, so up north in Opononi. That's where he's from and where I grew up a little bit when I was young. And my mum comes from Tauranga, so Tauranga Moana, Ngāti Rangi Nui, Iwi, and yeah.
And why is it complicated? Is it because you need to like spell out?
Oh, because I don't know. Usually people are like, where are you from? And I don't know if they're asking, like, do you mean where do I live or like where am I from as, you know? When,
yeah, yeah.
Because when you're Māori, kind of. That question's always not too sure.
Yeah, and it's like, it's the same for... anyone who isn't white,
ethnic,
basically.
Yeah.
But I was thinking like, yeah, for Māori, it's also different because it's like, well, I'm from here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is my country, you know? Like,
I'm from New Zealand.
Yeah, like, where are you from?
That's true. Depends who's asking, eh?
Yeah, always. What feels like home to you? Is this political?
No.
Is this like,
I don't know. I feel like home is wherever my family is. My family are kind of scattered throughout the country. So my dad's up north, my mum's in Tauranga, so is my sister. I have one sister in Wellington, I have one sister in Auckland here. So it's kind of when we all get together. But I'd say when I say I'm going back home, I usually go up north for a holiday and just chill out up there. Otherwise, go to Tauranga because I have heaps of family down there as well.
That saying, home is where the heart is, that's like actually
that's
for
that's
you.
It. And I do have a home in Auckland, but it's my house.
And so when you talked a little bit about growing up north, that must have been a beautiful place
to
grow up.
It was, yeah. It was a real good place to grow up, I think. And, I mean, I didn't know in any other way. Like, you know, I hardly ever came down to Auckland or other big cities. Never, yeah. It was always, you know, close to the beach, countryside, hardly any people. Small communities, but yeah. It's...
Riding around on horses?
I wish I could say that, actually. No, I've ridden horses, you know, up there but a couple of times, but it wasn't until I was a little bit older. My dad actually, because I wanted a horse so bad when I was a kid. We used to live in Rotorua, and he promised me that he would buy me a horse when we moved up north because he wanted to go home. And, you know, I was like, oh, yeah, okay. I was about, I don't know, 10 maybe. I was like, oh, yeah, let's go then. Yeah, let's go up north. Eh? And today, years and no horse. But he got me to move, so that was funny.
I only asked because when I went up there, I just saw, like, mad kids riding around on horses.
Yeah.
And I remember being like, oh, wow, like, can you, like, this is crazy. And they looked at me like they felt so sorry for me that I couldn't ride a horse. You know, I was like, man, I feel like,
no. I don't think you should try.
It's fun. It's fun. Fall off a couple of times. But
Yeah. So what brought you here to Auckland?
Music. I came down to study in 2013. I studied music at Unitech for 2 years. Because I knew before moving, like, I wanted to do music, and, you know, I just didn't know exactly where to start. And I thought studying would be a good step forward. So I came down here and studied for 2 years. I don't know, I chose Auckland because it's closer than Wellington. It's up north, yeah. And my sister was staying here at the time, so.
And so when people ask you what you do, what do you tell them?
I tell people that I make music, I write songs, I perform. I just love doing music. I also work part-time. I'm teaching te reo Māori, but music's like my biggest passion. So
you're like quite happy to be like, yeah, I make music.
Yeah, that's what I do. I mean, I'm a musician. Yeah.
Cool. No, that's cool, because I know like some people, takes a while before they can get to that stage, you know?
Yeah. No, definitely. And I do have another part-time job, but I need to pay my rent. and bills to pay, and until I get to a stage where I can just do it, you know, full time. But I don't mind, actually. I love what I do. Teaching te reo Māori is pretty cool.
I imagine it must be very rewarding.
Yeah, it is. Being able to share, you know, our language with people who want to learn. And it's cool because most of the people in my class, they're non-Māori.
Oh, true. Yeah, that's interesting.
Different ethnicities and backgrounds from different countries as well. So yeah, it's cool.
That's very cool. How long have you been teaching that?
Not long, a few months. This is my second term teaching, and it's about 10-week term or semesters.
Is it one of those free courses?
It's free course. Yeah.
You obviously grew up with te reo Māori in your life.
Yes, I grew up. I went to Kohanga Reo and then to Kura Kaupapa right up till year 9. And then, when I got to year 9, I went into mainstream. Well, they had a bilingual unit, so kind of both worlds, but more so English than anything.
Have you found it easy to maintain, or is that like a constant work in progress?
It is. You can't, it's hard. It's really hard to maintain if you don't speak it enough, especially if you don't have friends that speak Māori. Coming from Kura, where everyone spoke te reo Māori, all my friends, and we learned everything in te reo Māori, maths, you know, every subject, and then going into another school and doing it in English was like, okay, thank you, this is different. And trying to maintain it was tough, but it's good. Teaching now, it helps a lot.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
you know, bringing it back and making it more.
So your whole family can speak?
Yes, yeah.
That's cool. So you'd be able to call up your mum or your sister or something?
And have a conversation,
that's cool. What kind of impact has that had on you? Do you, like, is that a tangible thing that you can feel, like knowing your language?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think it's had a big impact. It's growing up with the language, but also the culture of being Māori. I think singing or being musically inclined is just a part of being Māori as well. It's a given, it's like prerequisite. If you're Māori, you have to know how to sing, do kapahaka and write songs and perform. And that's, I feel like it was a big impact on me growing up.
So you did that kapahaka and all that stuff?
Yeah, I did kapahaka, growing up.
Did you compete?
I competed, school competitions. Yeah, I didn't go to Matatini or anything, but I think now I'm like, nah, I better not, because it's actually really bad for your voice.
Oh, true.
Yeah, like, you know, doing the haka and stuff. So I mean, I love doing kapahaka, but I need to decide, you know? I want to do music, so I'm going to stay on that.
And in terms of like a sense of self or whatever, like that must make you feel really grounded.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Identity, it's important as well, knowing who you are and where you come from. And it's a big part as well of being Māori, is to know where you come from and what your lineage is and your whakapapa. So yeah, definitely keeps me grounded.
And that must be, as you said, like, it's nice to be able to pass that on to other people. Mm,
yeah, I know. Who want to learn, it's cool.
In terms of your EP, is that the correct term, EP?
Yeah, EP.
Yeah, so it's very, it's almost like mournful, or like it's very, like, especially even that intro, like, you know, I can't describe, I don't have like the musical vocabulary to describe.
No, neither do I.
Like the sound of it, but it's very like, oh, whoa, like, something's gonna happen. Mm. Well, I don't know. I'm terrible at this.
But that's fine.
Yeah, it's like a really powerful but very kind of sparse way to start the EP.
The intro.
What were you?
A cappella.
Yeah. What were you thinking with that?
I really love melodies. That's kind of my thing, and I like playing around. And when I had no idea. You know, found a good melody. I'm like, I recorded it on my phone, and I don't even know where that came from. I just was playing. I have like this app on my phone. It's like that loop. It's just like loop stuff.
Yeah.
And I just stacked the, you know, vocals and built it up. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's pretty cool. So I kept that, put some lyrics in there, and came out with half a song. And I was like, oh, I could make it longer, but I feel like the length is cool, like where it's at. So I didn't want to make it too long, and I thought it was perfect. So
it's kind of nice too, because it's talking about wanting to stay in this place that's very temporary, you know, like grapefruit skies, sunsets or whatever. It's like this beautiful calm moment, but it can never last kind of thing. So
cutting it short kind of
works
out.
Yeah, it's kind of nice in that sense. I don't know if I'm like going way too deep.
That makes me sound like I've really thought this through.
Is the outro like exactly the same, or
it's not exactly the same, but the beginning of it is the same, and then it changes.
Does it lighten up a bit?
Lightens up a little bit, and the melody kind of shifts and goes somewhere else.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I wasn't sure if it did, or if it was just like my mind playing tricks on me, because it feels like I'm like, oh, like it starts off quite dark, but then it kind of it shifts.
I just put the same intro at the bottom.
Sweet, done.
That's the intro and outro.
Copy and paste, like, top and bottom, Wash Over Me, it's very like baptism imagery.
Yes, it is. It is. A lot of people ask me too, like, man, are you religious? I wrote this song because last year I was going through a little bit of a hard time, and I kind of wanted to write something. For me, like, this song is about starting fresh and starting new, especially after going through a lot of shit, and I want to make a new start. And in the Maori world, like, water itself is what we use as a cleansing substance to whakanoa, anything. So it just felt right. I was going to talk about water, river, that's what we use. So it's relatable to who I am and my culture. So when you think of it in that sense, it's...
This is you starting anew, pushing the reset button.
Yeah, I just want to, just chuck a bucket of water over my head and just like, brush this off. Yeah, I'm done. I'm going to do this and do it. Start again,
And that's important, even if maybe you weren't like at that stage yourself, it's sometimes important to like will yourself to do it or whatever.
Yeah.
Did you, when you had finished that song, did you feel like you had kind of been cleansed of something?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that's what it took me a while to write it, actually. I mean, I wrote it, half of it, and then left it for a little while and then came back and finished the second verse. But I think when I finally finished it, I was like, I felt a lot better, the place I was at in my head and stuff. So
also, like, going back, going back to your roots, or like you mentioned family or, your mother or whatever, trying to go back to that innocence.
Being a kid, you didn't have to worry about anything. Just being, my mum, and when I was little, just being everything, and that's, she just took care of me. That was the life, no worries, man.
That was the life.
My granddad also, he was an archdeacon. He passed away last year, at the beginning of last year. And I kind of wrote it, having him in mind as well. Because my dad, when he was sick, my dad was like, sing like a gospel song. I was like, I don't have a gospel song. I had that in mind when I was writing it as well.
You talked about the way you styled yourself for the If Only video. Was it your grandfather?
Yeah, my granddad. Well? Yep.
Yeah.
Same, yes. Grandfather, my granddad, Koro. Because I was like, we're looking all through his photos, like when we were at the house and stuff, and he was still alive. Yeah, I was like, man, they look cool, back then. Mm. And they really cared about what they wore and how they dressed and their hair and everything. And I was like, yeah. And I had this specific photo that I was like, okay, I'll kind of use this as a starting point, and use that to inform kind of how the video was going to look in terms of styling. But I mean, those clothes, like, I wear those clothes, like, myself, like, you know, day to day sometimes. Like,
maybe it's just the hair or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because I was kind of thinking this is kind of your steez anyway. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, it is. I like have two different styles that I like dressing up and then also, like, being comfortable and just putting, like, a hoodie on. So,
Yeah, this story, you said that you approached it differently, this song. You know exactly what you need to do to make it work, but you're just not going to do it.
is that what I sounded like I was
I don't know. What do you reckon?
It's
no, like you know.
But I just don't want to.
Or I don't know if you don't want to or if you can't. Yeah. Or But yeah, it's It is, like, it's a different approach, like
yeah,
you said.
Yeah, I kind of, yeah, because usually people write from the other person's perspective, and we're talking about unrequited love and stuff, so for me, I just want to do something different and write from the person who doesn't get a chance to voice their opinion.
This is why I'm not going to love you, all right? Like, just can't, just relax.
Yeah. This is what it is, Yeah.
I don't know if it's because I read the stuff about you explaining how you have had a tough year and, like, you've gone through family members passing away and that sort of stuff. But I was, you know, when I listened to it, I was like, some of the love songs could double as songs for people
who have passed away
as well. And I think especially Never Be Apart.
That's specifically, people who
passed away.
Passed on.
But
people hear it, like, first instance, they'll think it could be, you know, about a girl or something, especially when you have it in the same, like you have If Only and then you have Change. Those two songs are about love and romance and stuff, and then the other two are kind of more recent than when I wrote the other two songs, so they're kind of...
It must have been hard to...
There's like two different stories going on, but at the same time, it all kind of fits together.
Yeah, because they're not, I don't know if you intended to, but they're not like super specific, you know, so people can take their own kind of...
Yeah, interpretation.
When did you begin this process of writing this? Was this when you went to New York in
2015? Yeah. Yeah, I went to New York in 2015, and that's where I recorded and produced If Only and Change. So that was 2 years ago. A long time, man. Honestly, after I got back home, I was like, okay, let's go. Like, I want to release them. I'm ready. Yeah. And I was just... Because I just didn't know what to do from there. And I was just like, okay, I need to just have a think. And make sure, you know, when after thinking about it and having a bit of help, I was like, okay, I need to make sure I have something to follow and have an actual full body of work. So I just kept writing and kept working on stuff. At the same time, when I came back, 2000, and then last year, 2016, it's kind of, I was a bit of lost my feet a little bit. And I couldn't really focus too much on music because of everything that was happening. I was still trying to write, but that's why it took so long. But I think because that 1 year took a big chunk of
You're just
time.
Dealing with that, right?
And just dealing with everything that was going on.
And sometimes just being home is hard too. Like, you're having to just do like normal stuff that gets in the way. Of
yeah, exactly. Man, I was going crazy because last year, like, I was kind of going back and forth between up north and Auckland because I moved out of my house and I was just like, hey, I need somewhere to live. You know, I didn't have like anywhere to stay. Like, I could go home whenever I wanted to, but I knew I needed to be in Auckland to be able to do something, you know, and keep the momentum going in terms of making music. And I was like, man, because I love going home for summer, but I can't stay up there for ages, like, for too long. Because I'm fast paced.
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
Because I need to always do something. Otherwise, I just go insane.
And what do you think? Was it just time that got you through, or was there like something in your mind that kind of clicked? Like, how did you get through that tough period, or what did you do to get yourself through that?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it was just time. Yeah. I think just spending that whole year, just figuring things out and trying to find my feet again and decide what I wanted to do and where I wanted to go. But I don't think anything, probably after I actually finished writing Never Be Apart, was, you know, that's that was my last, that's actually the last song I wrote, and it's the last song on the EP too, before the outro, so kind of all just worked out in terms of the timeline of the songs and how it was relatable to me and what I, you know, the year and my life and stuff.
Yeah, and you were like, this is the end. Yeah, like, this is a good way to end.
This is a good way to end, and it kind of informed how the EP was going to look and sound in terms of like the theme and everything.
Yeah, and it does. It's nice how you're able to pack like a story, or you know, there's like a timeline kind of thing in that short space of songs. Or
yeah, yeah. Nah, thank you. Nah, that's a Sorry, I don't know, I was gonna say something. I agree.
Yeah.
Because I'm not in like an expressive person when it comes to emotion and stuff. I'm really like, you know, straight. I don't know. I don't even feel. Nah. But I use songs, you know, to kind of outlet and put all that stuff out. So I don't have to.
You don't have to talk about it.
Yeah, so I don't have to talk about it.
Do you mind right now?
Just play the CD, bro.
That's why I put all of my feelings just into that, you know?
Yeah, no, totally.
And then I let it go and it's gone now. It's out now. It's out to the world.
It's out done. And out someone else's, right?
Yeah, like that's it. And someone else might be able to gain something or relate to it. Yeah. Hopefully help someone else go and do something similar.
Yeah, they can put their own shit on.
Interpret it in their own way.
Cool. Sweet. All right.
All good.
I was going to be like, what were you listening to yourself? Like, what other people were you listening to when you're going through that? Or just, you know?
I listen to a lot of different music. I'm a variety. Yeah, I can listen to like old school. So Sam Cooke and Otis Redding. And I can listen to hip hop. I like listening to hip hop. I can listen to country music. Just anything. Hey, I think just, I like listening to anything that makes me feel good. No matter what genre it is, I kind of not restricted, but some music definitely is my go-to. I listen to a lot of artists from the UK. Sam Henshaw, Jacob Banks, Quabs. Do you know any of those people?
Yeah, I know Quabs. Okay, yeah.
He's the man, eh? Oh, yeah, I want to see him live, man. Yeah. He's awesome. Adele. Who are you, Kay?
Who's
Adele? I don't, have you heard have you heard of this lady named Adele? Actually? I don't know.
Yeah.
She's awesome. I went to a show.
Man. Sweet. Thanks, man. It's like, sweet.
Stop talking. Oh, man.